her tongue, sliding it between his lips, and he groaned, wanting to take her right there against the wall, on the balcony, on the floor. Or hell, just standing up like this would be fine. Being madly in love with a woman who could bend and move in hard-on-inducing ways was pretty much the greatest thing in the world. Yeah, he was a lucky bastard. "Ladies first," he said, setting her down, then gesturing for her to talk. "No, you go," she said, her forest green eyes twinkling. "I want to hear all about your big interview." She reached for the collar on his shirt, tugging both ends. "I bet they adored you. I bet you already have your second interview lined up." "Better than that," he said, and dipped her, her back arcing effortlessly as she looked up at him from that position. The last thing he'd expected when he walked into his job interview today was to be hired on the spot. That wasn't even in the realm of possibility. It was an informational interview. Besides, the job he'd originally gone in for was based in New York. But the post that Late Night Antics offered him, a gig with more money, more cred, and more opportunity, was in Los Angeles. At 21, he'd landed a comedian's dream job. Tell me, she demanded, laughter in her voice. He raised her up again and parked his hands on her shoulders. "We're moving to LA next week." Her sweet laughter stopped, as if he'd turned off a switch, but the eerie silence made no sense to him. "What?" she asked, her voice small. He nodded, letting the enthusiasm he felt roll off him. Surely she'd catch it too. She'd have to be infected with his excitement. Their future was unfurling before them. "I got the job. They offered me a job on the spot, for Late Night Antics. This never happens, Shan. I'll be the youngest comedy writer in the history of the show, and you know what happens to the youngest writers." "They go on to have the biggest careers," she said, repeating what he'd told her many times before, but she sounded monotone, as if she was merely parroting him. "This is huge, babe," he said, keeping the conversation upbeat. "I know, it is," she said, sounding hollow. "What's wrong?" "I thought it was for a job in New York, that we were trying to find work together in New York so we could be together, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Nichols and all," she said, trying to smile, but her lower lip quivered the slightest bit. He shook his head. "Well, it was, but they love my work so much they offered me a gig and want me to start next week in time for the new fall season. It's an amazing opportunity. Top late-night TV show in the country. In the world. And you are looking at the newest writer. And he is looking at his bride-to-be." He thought for sure that would return the smile to her face, the kind that made her crinkle her nose with its constellation of freckles. He loved nothing more than making her smile, making her laugh, especially considering what she and her family had been through that wasn't the least bit funny whatsoever. "We're going to LA," he added, because the silence was too much. But there was no smile. Her eyes were glassy. Wet, maybe. Then she seemed to draw in that flash of sadness and replace it with a hard fierceness and a tight line across her lips. "Brent," she said carefully, "did you say we're going to LA? He nodded eagerly. "I start next week. We're moving to LA. I took the job." She stepped away, pushing her hands against him. "You took it?" she repeated, each word needing its own longitude and latitude. "Hell yeah." "You never thought to discuss it with your bride-to-be?" she asked pointedly, holding up her hand and flashing her ring at him, the diamond he'd given her, set in her grandmother's band that her brother Michael had helped him track down? "No." But he was too surprised by her question to even try to figure out why she was asking. "What about me? What about you? You don't have a job.